Blog Talk Radio. Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Lynn. Basically, I'm in Alaska, and I'm airing in Alaska, in Anchorage, Alaska. Came over here via my car, drove all the way up to, I think it's over 2,200 miles one way. Had a great time. Didn't get much sleep because all I wanted to do is basically drive all the way through and get to Anchorage as soon as possible and basically just rest after I return. But I'm actually here at a friend's home in Anchorage, and she was gracious enough to let me stay here for a week. And then after that, I'm going to go to another friend, I think 3 weeks with her and her family. And then after that, basically, I'm going to be with another friend. Oh, actually, my aunt and uncle for another 3 weeks before I head back. And it looks like we have a caller. I'm hoping it's my buddy here, Andy. Hold on here. Hey, you're on the air. Who's this?
Well, guess who it is. It is your buddy who is here.
I was going, oh, no, am I doing this by myself? Whew, because I had the crickets ready. I was going to, like, where's everybody? Where's everybody? I'm by myself, So... So what's new with you? Oh, by the way, how was last weekend's what the heck was it? Whatever con, HorrorCon?
That was a couple of weekends ago, and it was CryptoCon. That was the horror convention.
That's another one. Okay, sorry.
And that convention, it was a horror convention, not a horror convention, a horror convention.
Sorry, about, horror, H-O-R-R-O-R.
Exactly. I totally get we are not on the best microphones here, so I wanted to enunciate and such. But it was a really great convention. It was, I got to test out my new iPad rig for those of you who are into DJing and do not want to carry all the big stuff around. Native Instruments makes a nice little iPad app called DJ Tractor. And so I use that spinning. And it actually went pretty well.
Okay.
The sound crew there was able to get me dialed in the whole nine yards. Everybody was in costume. Everybody was able to have, everybody had a good time. People danced on the floor. It was really an eclectic mix of people. I had everybody who was in the 80s who are doing the modern day dancing. I don't even know what they call it anymore, but it involved like very quick feet movements.
I have no idea either.
Right, yeah. It was a really great con. This past weekend, I got commissioned to work on some soundtrack stuff that I can't really talk about because I signed an NDA. But once it comes out, I'll be posting it on my Facebook and such. So, yeah, I've been composing. I did a little bit of writing. Plus, my other job asked me to come back into work, so it was kind of crazy.
Good. So, I did is basically, it sounds like I need to go someplace and let somebody in. I don't know. I'm at a friend's house, and they went out for a walk, and I'm not really quite sure if that's them knocking, because if so, you guys are going to hear somebody trying to kill me or whatever. I don't know how that works. Nope.
Dun, dun, dun. Speaking of horror movies.
So anyway, it's nice and sunny here, basically mostly sunny, some clouds up in the sky, and they thought I brought up the Seattle weather, but apparently... it's telling me otherwise, because unless it's sunny there too.
It's absolutely gorgeous down here.
Okay, I think we're going to get some gorgeous weather in the next couple of days.
So, yeah, it was 81 degrees The sun's out. I've had to wear sunglasses most of the day. It's warm. People are running around in shorts, you know, flip-flops. You know, we're really, us Washingtonians down here are really enjoying the sun. Just a beautiful day out. You know, it's been that way for the past couple of days, actually, and such. It's been comfortably warm, but it hasn't been scorchingly hot. So, it's been really beautiful here in Washington State.
At least near Seattle.
Yeah, at least near Seattle. You know,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure in eastern Washington, it's already like the hot season over there.
Correct. And then there's some areas in western Washington that has all these different, I don't want to call it turbulence, but I think they have a special name for it, in which they usually get the weird weathers. You know what? I'm forgetting. I'm not a weather person. So.
Well, I know Bellingham is in a rain shadow of sorts. So they tend to get a lot of very extreme weather. It's either really, really sunny or, you know, the snow hits and such. So.
Oh, okay. I'm hoping Liz will join me here on the show sometime, but she doesn't want to talk. She just want to listen. Although listening me just talk without you talking back, because I'm on the computer using my headset, either that I'm going to have to take off the headset and have her listen in, but that means I have to talk louder and closer to my computer.
Well, you could always have her listen on your computer, and you could always call in with your phone.
That too, but she's right here, so, you know, I don't know.
You could hand her your phone, and she could listen in touch.
Oh, she could do that. Yeah.
If she wanted to, with you. Yeah, exactly. Wonders of technology.
Exactly. There you have it. Let's see here if I can remember it off the top of my head. There it is. No, to listen. She's really loudly telling me, I don't want to talk. And I said, no, it's to listen. Okay.
That number, if you want to call in, is going to be 347-677-0699.
Oh, my goodness. Again, I didn't remember the phone number.
Actually, I'm looking at the internet right now, and I've got the phone number right up. It was kind of funny because I meant to call in right around 7:57 and such, but I had a hard time finding the number, and I was like, where is the number? It's like, oh, it's right here on the internet. And I dialed the number, and then boom, it was on my phone.
I posted it like a couple of hours ago on Century Health Talk, and also on the page, Century Massage page, so.
Kinda
is that where
crazy.
You found it, or did you go to...
No, I found it on the Century Massage Facebook page.
Okay, good. Phew. So we have her online listening in. So whenever you want to say anything, just raise your hands, and she's right in the same room with me, and she's nodding herself. No, never. I don't think so, ever.
That's fine.
I know. But today's topic... did you want to say something before we get started?
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, maybe later in an hour she wants to talk, or maybe next episode. You know, no pressure. We're all really laid back. We don't bite often.
And not too hard. Okay.
Yes.
So anyway, the topic of conversation today, if you guys give us a call and we'd love to hear your stories, is basically thought manifestation. I've been having a difficult time saying that all day today, but basically the thought thought manifestation is basically your thoughts. If you think what you want and see it in your mind, exactly how it's going to happen, it will mostly happen very closely to how you thought it was going to be. A good example of this is basically my business. I envisioned the type of massage clients I would like to attract in my office, and the thought process of it is they already coming in. What type of clients would they be? I was envisioning folks in the office, what I call desk jockeys. Folks who want to be athletes, but they don't have the time because of work, so they do that in the weekend. So I call them weekend warriors, and so on and so forth. And, and then basically when I want to be busy, I would focus on a day, and I said, I want today to have 4 massages. And then sometimes it happens. Most times it happens. So the only thing that I want to tell people is just be careful what you think about. When you want something, you need to be a little bit more in detail. You want to be rich. Well, the universe might think, oh, 1 cent is rich. You're 1 cent richer. And you saw a penny on the floor and you didn't even pick it up. You're basically telling the universe, I don't want to be rich. So there you go. You're not going to get rich. You know, have a goal, $500. That's another thing that I did. I said I had $5 in my account, and or $50 in my account, and I thought I need more money to start my business. And for some reason, it ended up to be $500, but I'm going, well, I need about $5,000 to really get started, a nice kind of like a nest of finances so that I can really grow my business in the beginning, my first couple of years. And I went and did a 3-day intensive seminar. Basically, all we did is thought about what we wanted as far as how we want to grow our business, how we want to grow as a person, and so on and so forth. And then 2 weeks later, I was talking to a client of mine, seeing if I could possibly loan money from her. And I was looking for $5,000. And she said, Lynn, we already have a therapist-client relationship. We are already having a budding friendship. I don't want to add on lendee relationship. How much are your massages? What if I just give you the $5,000? How many massages would that buy me? I said, wow, a lot. Let's just say 5 years' worth. And so she gave me $5,000. And that was just
wow.
Yeah, and that was exactly what I needed to get started. Exactly. $5,000. And that's what she gave me. 2 weeks after the seminar. That's outstanding. That's like, whoa. Even the person who was helping me put together my business plan? Mm-hmm. She goes, Lynn, because I wanted a loan from her. I wanted to pay her back. And she goes, Lynn, this is a gift. You don't have to repay. You just do the services. And, yeah, and actually her 5 years ended about a year ago. So, yeah, that was kind of cool. I thought that was really cool. $5,000. Right. Somebody just said $5,000 to give me.
You know, just be thankful for that. You know, gratitude is very much a key component in manifestation theory, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you have been doing that same thing. The first couple of weeks you were at my office, all of a sudden, actually, I think it was the first full day that you had at the office, the phone started ringing, and you put down 2 massage appointments, or 3 actually, on the books on that same week.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, whoa, what's going on? This is great. Now give it to Aaron. Let me share the love. Come on.
Let me get to know Aaron first. By the way, I am going to plug Aaron here real quick. Both massage therapists are excellent, but obviously, Lynn, you being up in Alaska, just because Lynn's up in Alaska doesn't mean you shouldn't step in the office. You should definitely give Aaron a chance. He's an excellent massage therapist. I've had a massage done by him, and I'll tell you what, it really helped a lot of problems that I have with my back. It was, you know, for if you've got like a back that is like mine, which, you know, it has a hard time relaxing because, you know, you're either hunched in front of a computer or you're consistently trying to put your shoulders in your ears, which you should never do. And he's a guy to see. At Century Massage. So definitely check him out. Your back will not regret it. But make sure you drink plenty of water.
I can second that motion. I he didn't work on my back per se because of a back problem. He just worked on me because I haven't had a massage for several months. Anna Marie left last year in July. But basically, I lost her from the office around February, March, because when she left for her vacation, she didn't come back. and then she left for good for Germany. Aaron stepped in at the end of the year last year, and I got a massage from him. Gosh, I forgot when that was. I think in March or February this year. And this is basically the sentence I have been telling everybody. If I could massage myself, that was Aaron's massage. Basically, he massaged me the way I would like to massage myself. It was a lot of hard work. It's not the kind of massage that you basically just fall asleep to, but he can do that too if that is something that you want to do. But if you want work done, yep, that's it. Aaron's the guy. Aaron's my massage therapist.
Very much familiar with anatomy, physiology. He's also a big sports guy. So he's always, or he's more of a fitness guy. He's a fitness guy. So, I mean, if you have fitness goals that you want to meet, you know, and such, Aaron can absolutely definitely help you from the massage point of view, because he understands, you know, how that stuff works. You know, being able to get the muscles to properly relax, getting them to heal in a proper amount of time, and such. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you're a fitness buff and you need a good massage, and you just don't want, you know, the massage or the relaxation massage, and you actually want to do something that'll help your workouts, see Aaron, see what he can do for you.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to add on the fact that the kind of massage that Aaron and I pretty much give to our clients or do to our clients are the kind of massages that it's basically almost like a workout. So that after the massage session, the relaxation actually is after the massage, and we hope that it lasts a couple of days to a week. So basically, the relaxation is after the massages. We can relax people on the table, but that doesn't really do much. It's basically just the hour, and we'd rather have the relaxation go further.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, people pay the money. We want to make sure that they paid their money's worth.
I mean, truth be told, while yes, you know, some people would say, well, why are you charging this much for the massage? It's like, well, just give them a chance. Honestly, I've had a lot of massage before. I've gone to, you know, various places. They are worth the money. They are worth every cent, because I can say that they deliver results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And thanks for plugging us in there, especially Aaron. He needs a little help on the marketing side.
Well, I would plug you too, but you're kind of in Alaska, Lynn.
Well, no, you can still plug me. I got people over here. They're actually putting, you know, scheduling folks for me to do massages here, and which I also need to plug Spirit Path. Yoga and wellness, you know, Cassandra is the owner there, the acupuncturist, and she's a very good friend of mine. She and her staff have been very, very accommodating to me, to a point it's really weird. Weird in a way, because I, you know, being self-employed, being by myself, it's very difficult to take help from people who know what they're doing, and yet I feel like I have to tell them what I need, and they go, oh, we got that covered. It's like, really? Sure, are you sure about that? I have to double check. Just the way I've been, you know, dealing with my business as well, because I've been by myself. I have to, people I've been kind of having to help me, like Aaron is kind of new to the, you know, the medical portion of it. So, I have to watch and teach and so on and so forth. And these guys are basically, this is what they do. So this is great. I love it. I just show up and say, hey, I'm ready. Where's my next client?
Awesome.
They have their washer and dryer right there. It's like, oh, yay. Don't have to
take
it home.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do need to plug them, and I would probably give them a call, too. I have totally forgotten what their phone number is now, right now. Dang, talk a little bit so I can find their phone number, Andy.
Sure. So we're talking about manifestation theory and such, and a lot of the theories and precepts are based upon the movie called The Secret. You can find this on Netflix. You can also, you know, if you do a Google or Bing search, whatever you want to search for, it's called The Secret. And essentially, it's about living the life that you want to live, and figuring out what you really want and how to achieve those things. And it's a lot easier, and yet it's a lot harder than one might think. We live, and this is the part where I'm going to take my little turn here. We live in a world, actually, we live in American society. We're based in capitalism, and I'm not digging on capitalism. This isn't a political rant. But the fact of the matter is that when you live in a capitalistic society, you got to follow the money. That's how we measure success in America. Now, whatever drawbacks or advantages that has, we can talk about that later. But that's the fact of the matter is we live in a capitalistic society where certain values come with a price tag. And one of those values is to make sure that a consumer is not necessarily educated. Well, The Secret kind of does the opposite thing. It encourages you to find out who you are and what you really want and how to achieve what you really want. And one of the most important things about The Secret that, you know, that I've learned is to cultivate a sense of gratitude, to always be thankful, even when things seem utterly hopeless, to write down a list of things that you're thankful for and why you're thankful for, those things. And then you start cultivating a sense of gratitude. And once you have that seed of gratitude that you feel, then start asking the universe for what you want, and then see what happens. You know, but, you know, ask for things that you genuinely feel that you can achieve, and that you genuinely want. This takes a little bit of time. I mean, this might mean you might have to take like 15 minutes to an hour a day just writing in a journal and asking yourself, what is it you really want in life?
Hey, I actually got a hold of Niall at Spirit Path. Hey, Niall, how you doing?
Hello.
Oh, wow. Hey, Niall, are you there? I think he put us on hold.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
No, oh, no, there
I'm
you
here.
Are.
I'm here. Oh,
hey.
Hi. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Hey, Niall has been an awesome person to basically make my transition from being a massage therapist in Washington to trying to be a massage therapist in Alaska and also an instructor. So he has been integral in putting together the flyers, the website, putting up my bio, my pictures.
All of the emails we send out. I'll just toot my own horn. Thank you so much.
So I wanted you to basically talk about Spirit Path, since you guys also deal in a lot of positive thought manifestation as well, because I've been hanging out there for today and yesterday, and I see a lot of that, although it's really new to me, that side of the energy work. Because mine is more hands-on, no pun intended, really, hands-on kind of work. And I do believe I do also do energy, but it's a different kind of energy work. So,
yeah, I do believe that we are all energy workers in some form, especially if you're helping aid someone in, you know, their own natural process of rejuvenation. That in and of itself is just working with energy. But we here at Spirit Path Yoga and Wellness do believe in the power of positive affirmation. The power of, you know, positive touch and positive thoughts have over our lives, and adversely, negative thoughts and how damaging they can be. we do offer a number of different services to really actually, you know, help us as humans get back into what nature intended for us, which is total well-being or perfect health. We offer yoga and Ayurveda, Ayurveda being like a very ancient form of medicine that came out of India about 5,000 years ago. It comes from two Sanskrit words, Ayur meaning life, and then Veda or Vedic meaning science or knowledge. So it translates into English literally as, you know, the science of life or the, you know, the life knowledge, you know, the expansion of our lives. And it talks about, you know, self-care, lifestyle changes, dietary changes, and using yoga, its sister science, in conjunction with Ayurveda to bring us into, you know, some sort of form of perfect health, which is what nature truly intended for us.
Well, that's good. And I'm going to be working with you guys very soon. Hopefully I get a massage client tomorrow.
Yeah, I personally love having you around. You're a hoot. I think
you're
awesome, yeah.
Well, I knew we were going to get, you know, we're going to hang out and all that stuff, and we have to, like, hang out.
Yeah, no, we really do.
But, yeah, Niall actually was saying something about a music, and said, oh, yeah, I remember that. I go, how old are you? He thought, he basically got me and said he was born in 1972, and I looked at him and said, you don't look any older than 25. You think so? Oh, thank you.
I gotta know, Niall. How often do you do yoga?
So I do yoga every morning, actually. Ayurveda says that there are four pertinent times during the day. Between 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. is one of them. It says you should rise without an alarm clock. And part of our daily routine is, you know, doing sun salutes and then moving through the 12 asanas. Of, you know, hatha or hatha-based yoga. So I do it every day. And then at Spirit Path, we do offer my favorite class, which is yin yoga, Mondays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And that's a more philosophy-based yoga. And I try to go to that class as often as I'm not working. So, yeah, every day, multiple times a day, hopefully. And that's preferable, at least.
That's really interesting because I'm a practitioner of Tai Chi Chuan. And it was my instructor, the late Jess Rowe, told me that when I was to do Tai Chi Chuan, that there's certain part in certain times of the day that I should do it, and that is that I should do it before 10 o'clock, and I should do it before 10 a.m., and then after 2 a.m., and then at night I should do Tai Chi Chuan before 10 o'clock, but not between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. So I find that
very interesting.
Yeah, I find that similarity kind of interesting, that there is something, that there is a timing of...
Yes, well, the ancient system of Chinese medicine and Oriental healing arts is closely related to Ayurveda, so it comes, I mean, it's no major surprise to me that, you know, some Chinese texts would also say there's certain times to adhere to when, you know, doing such forms of, you know, I don't know if Tai Chi is a martial art or if it's considered more moving meditation, but just those types of practices, it makes sense that there's times to do those. But...
Hey, Niall, do you do any kind of gratitude thing also? Is that something that you guys do also in yoga? You know, thanking and all that stuff before and after poses?
Yeah, you know, there's actually a great, I would implore everyone to read this, Patanjali, who wrote the Yoga Sutras, who brought yoga to the masses, because before he had actually created the Yoga Sutras, yoga was only practiced by royalty. It was thought that only people with royal blood and royal upbringing would be able to understand and deepen their actual, or cultivate a pure mind-body connection, and that was called Raja Yoga, which was practiced by royals. So Patanjali wrote the Yoga Sutras and brought it to the masses, and you know what? Can you ask your question again? I'm so sorry. I forgot it.
I was wondering, in any of the yoga classes, do you guys do a gratitude before and after poses?
And I knew I was going somewhere with this. So Patanjali wrote the Yoga Sutras, and in the Yoga Sutras, it outlines, you know, a code of ethics and principles that every person that is practicing yoga or has a yoga practice in their life should adhere to, or at least, you know, be respectful of. You know, there's not yamas and niyamas. There are, you know, the eight limbs or the eight limbed animal path to, you know, yoga enlightenment. So there are principles that are said that you should adhere to. Some of them are about energy control, you know, loving kindness, unconditional loving kindness, practicing all forms of nonviolence towards others, but also towards ourselves. A lot of people feel that, you know, the only form of yoga is hot flow and that they should be sweating and, you know, feeling the burn. And when in reality, we're not, you know, using our bodies to get into the pose. We're using the poses to really get into our bodies and access, you know, all aspects of our being. And so there's like there's a whole host and hundreds of pages of ancient texts and modern texts that really do talk about, like I said, ethics of yoga.
Okay. Yeah, because I've seen, some classes. I tried to get into one hot yoga. That was just too hot. It was just way too hot, and by about 20 minutes into it, I was doing the dead man's pose, and I did not want to see it.
Yes, corpse pose is definitely one of my favorites. Easiest to do, too. Yeah.
So I don't want to take too much of your time because, you're still at work, but I wanted to thank you and for basically helping me plug Spirit Path because... there's a lot of things that's going on with there that I still really have no clue, how to introduce them. It's only my second day.
Yeah, it's a learning experience for both of us. We love having you. I personally think you're a hoot. Like I said, you're a joy. And I just want to thank you for inviting me onto the show so that I could talk about all of these things. I think it's really awesome. So I really
Thanks
do.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll see you again tomorrow sometime in the morning.
I'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy the sunshine while we have it.
I will do.
Thank you, Lynn.
Niall.
Bye-bye.
So that was Niall, the guy that I've been talking to and setting up all the workshops. And, yeah, the thing is that all I did was basically think about the kind of workshops I want. And right now I'm still having a difficult time picturing that because I am – still somewhat disoriented in my new environment.
What's different about it?
What's different about it? One, it's part of me, just because I used to live here, but I still feel I don't belong as much as I used to. I mean, before I was there. And, let's hold on. I've lost my track of thought because I'm looking at the chat and they're saying that there's nothing going on in the chat. There's no, it's silent in the chat. So I don't know how to fix that. Oh, there she is. There you are. She found us. Okay. So anyway, now I'm the one who lost track of my thought process. Help Andy. What was I saying?
Oh, you were talking about how you were adjusting and acclimating to Alaska and how you kind of felt that you still didn't kind of fit in, but you do, but you don't.
No, I do fit in some respect. There's a niche that I feel comfortable, but overall, I no longer feel this is my home.
Right.
So it's just weird to... You have me come in and then, hey, here I am. It's just weird to do that. Although my friend is smirking at me, making faces, saying, why? I'm like, you should. You used to live here. But anyway, and the drive was also pretty, I don't know. It was not bad. It's just hard. The road wasn't that well maintained up in the Yukon territory, and I didn't get enough sleep, and I was dehydrated all the way up to Alaska. So By the time I got here, I just felt like I was going through a hangover.
Wow.
So, and I basically just thought where I want to be. I want to be well. I have to stay well. And so far, lucky me, I haven't, I'm just tired. That's it. And I still have a little bit of the spirit and energy to do what I need to do, but nothing more, actually. So hopefully I'll get myself back into the swing of things and figure something out and do more things and have more fun rather than just do the minimum or the required activities. So that's what I'm working towards. So I've been manifesting what I want. So far, so good. I still am doing a lot of learning of myself, learning what I can do, my limitations, all in the personal side of me. I'm still doing some personal growth. And also the business is also going through some growth. And I want to make sure it's going exactly where I want it to go by thinking and wanting, seeing where I want it to go. And hopefully I can guide it there.
Yes, and, you know, it's not so much, you know, because I've watched The Secret many, many times. I mean, there are two movies that I actually watch when I feel that I've forgotten the lessons of manifestation theory is What the Bleep Do We Know and The Secret. And they both have an integral component to them, and that is emotional content about feeling, about actually, about doing, you know, being honest with how you feel, because I'm trying to figure, I'm actually pulling up The Secret right now on Netflix.
Well, here's the thing that I remember about the Secret, because I didn't get the book. I actually got the DVD, and it's somewhere in my office, and I usually listen to it in the background in my first couple years in the business. They were saying that basically if you put emotions behind it, it's actually, I don't know, three times more powerful. So if you really do believe in something, that's what you're wanting in your life and you're actually doing the action towards that particular goal, then it will work. But if you're just thinking this is what you want and not really do anything to it, not even feel that you're going to the motion of getting it, it doesn't work that way. You have to have something behind it, and emotions actually puts it in the next plane, higher plane. So,
oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's really weird because I did my Tai Chi lesson. I have a student, and we had, you know, and sometimes we do a debrief and we talk about stuff. And she said something very interesting to me, that a lot of her negativity was based upon the notion that life is to be endured.
Mm-hmm.
And if you choose that, yes, life is to be endured. I mean, if that's the vibe you're putting out in the universe, you know, the universe will answer and be like, okay, yes, life is to be endured. But we also have a choice to make. Life is to be enjoyed.
Correct.
So, you know, when you genuinely feel enjoyment, that sets off a series of thought processes, and those thought processes have a frequency. I mean, we do have the body electric, you know, and the mind, you know, operates in a certain frequency. It's giving out frequencies. We have REM sleep. We have different degrees of sleep, different degrees of dreaming. So I have to believe that because of these frequencies of the mind, that if you send out a frequency of enjoyment, of happiness, of prosperity, the universe is only going to give you more of that. You're only going to attract more positive things into your life. Now, this isn't to say to have some Pollyanna complex, but it does start, you know, from what my opinion, the core is of just being grateful and then moving on from there and asking what from the universe what you want for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another important you know, context here is the fact that the secret is very much about owning up to your own emotions, owning up to your own behaviors, and not, you know, buying into the illusion that you can control and manipulate someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, really interesting because, you know, if you're willing to take your time out to really, you know, put forth, you know, positive things and bring them into the real world with the motivation and the context of that's what you want, that's what you'll get. Conversely, if you're, you know, I have seen so many times that, you know, people have done some, you know, they're always looking to the negative. They're always saying, well, I can't ever do that. I can't ever do this. And she's like, well, you're right. You can't ever, you won't ever do it if you keep on thinking you can't ever do it.
Yep.
You know, you have to give yourself and the universe a chance to see what can happen and such.
Definitely. I don't know. It's very difficult actually to explain the thought process and the time it usually takes. It's not like you think about it and it's going to happen the next day. There is series.
Thank God it doesn't happen instantaneously.
Exactly.
I mean,
because if you thought about it and then you didn't see all the necessary information to make that thought process, and if you got it instantly, you're in trouble. It's like, oh, you know, you're a pain in my butt, and all of a sudden there's a pain in your butt. You don't want that. Because that was actually covered in the DVD of The Secret. And thank goodness your thought process or your thought manifestation doesn't happen instantly. Because if you thought, oh, I want to have that car, and it happens, and just happened to be that it's not the type of color you want, or it's a lot of maintenance problems, blah, 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 before you even research it, and you have that car, what are you going to do with it? Oh, I don't like that car. And it
right.
breaks down. Oh, there it goes. Your wish is my command.
Exactly. And one of those other key elements in The Secret is the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like attracts like. So if, you know, you're on a downward emotional spiral, you know, you don't try to go up an emotional spiral, you know, that's what you're sending out to the universe. You know, you are sending out this negativity. So somewhere on the line, you know, you're gonna wonder, well, how did this happen? And, you know, if you kind of look back at how things spiraled about, it's like, oh, well, I had this thought process, which led to this behavior, which led to this action, which led to these consequences.
Correct. And people have to also think about the fact that you have to deal with past stuff that keeps floating up in your life that you have to keep dealing with. If you don't deal with it right there and then and just, you know, figure something out to move on from there, it's just going to drag you down and keep you chained up to that particular part in your life. You can't move forward.
Exactly. And that's what something that, you know, I think is really important to understand is that if there has anything that I've, you know, come to understand about quote-unquote human nature in the universe is the fact that we're all travelers. You know, we are all here to experience something in this life. And, you know, I figure if you're going to be in this life, you might as well be as happy as often for as long as, you know, you should be happy for as long as you can and as often as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness can feel good, feel so good. Why should you experience it? Well, the fact of the matter is happiness feels wonderful. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, go out on a hedonistic ride. A lot of people equate, well, you know, if I'm always pursuing happiness, you know, I'm going to be a self-centered individual. I'm going to, you know, make bad decisions. It's like, well, no, you can make bad decisions in the pursuit of happiness. But ask yourself, if you're making a bad decision to pursue happiness, you know, is that truly, you know, the happiness that you want to pursue? Is there something better out there?
Correct.
You know?
I know. I preaching to the choir. I guess I'm the choir, because really there's nobody else out there listening other than my friend. And Alexandria is basically on the chat line, and she says, I definitely feel that when I become negative, everything around me becomes negative. If I am positive, things around me become positive. And if I think about something that I want or want to have happen, more often than not, it will. And it's basically the same thing in my life. I mean, just coming up here, I was envisioning how I'm supposed to feel or going to feel or will feel or already feeling when I arrive in Alaska. There's a lot of things I want to accomplish up here. And so far, I actually, my friend Liz here has been very supportive. We basically found something, you know, about each other's lives, and there were no judgments made. And basically, the bond is a little bit better and stronger. So definitely, I don't want to lose her as a friend. So, you know, and then now I'm working with the folks at Spirit Path and making new connections. And it seems like the people out there are the type of people I want in my life. Although it's a little on the woo-woo side for me, but I need to get over that. Because I'm too much more of a Western massage practitioner thinking type of person that it's going into they're using way too much oil for me and for my taste. And so anyway, I have to get over that, and I'm doing the best that I can to open up my horizons my thinking as well. And I put myself continuously in situation that makes me uncomfortable, because when I do that, then I learn something more about myself, and either one, I hate it, don't ever want to do it, two, I love it, wow, this is new, I never thought about it, or three, is like, eh, either or, whatever, it's okay. So yeah, I'm definitely learning about myself right now, and the people around me. And then the other thing that I'm up here for is to basically connect with my family. And I have to get this part settled so I have some footing, you know, and then deal with family, because I need to go see my mom. I'm already envisioning how that's going to work out. My sister, my brother, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, it's a lot of work manifesting positive things, but it does work, because of all my siblings right now, I feel like I'm the most healthiest, I guess. I'm the oldest of five, and I feel like I'm in a healthy, not just healthy as in physical, but healthy as in mental as well as spiritual. So I don't know where to attribute it, other than the thoughts that I've had, where I want to go, and I went there, and staying positive all throughout, even the bad times. And even through the bad times, there are good things that happen. I made really awesome friends in the bad times, because those are when people come to you and come to your aid, and you know who your real friends are. It's a great test. Not that I want to test my friends, but when things do happen, you know, you know who your friends are.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. There's a book out there called Illusions, and it was written by Richard Bach. And he says, you are never given a problem without that problem having a gift in its hands. I'm paraphrasing here.
Okay.
You seek problems because you want their gifts. Some of the most enlightened people I know have been through the crappiest of times and such. And for whatever reason, they had to go through that ordeal to really make it. And, of course, there are other people that I know who, you know, they read the life and times of these people who've gone through trials and tribulations. And they've, you know, through book reading, they said, oh, okay, well, maybe I don't need to make those choices to have a good life. I can learn from the fruits of those choices and live a better life and such. It's kind of interesting. I've kind of got The Secret in the background right now.
You're having it play in the background, which is good.
I've got it muted, but I've got the subtitles on, and it says here, you know, pretty much about, you know, one of the longest, you know, oldest laws of the universe, which is, you know, like attracts like. So mm-hmm. you know, you attract what you think most, and that's by John Assarat, who's an entrepreneur on The Secret. And, you know, so if you're always thinking about the debt, if you're always thinking about, you know, negativity, yeah, you're attracting that to you. I've never met, honestly, a negative person where they're, like, completely prosperous and they're driving a great car, or they have great relationships.
Yeah.
You know, usually negative people I tend to find, you know, yeah, they've, you know, they kind of got, you know, some really bad stuff going for them. But at the same time, I've met a lot of people who aren't, you know, necessarily, you know, 100% happy about their life, but they do their best to cultivate a positive sense of self. And when they do that, they tend to do okay. They may not be exactly where they want to be, but they are not spiraling down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really interesting.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Because it's really interesting, because I was thinking about this. I mean, there was a huge controversy on a clothing company called Abercrombie & Fitch. I don't know if you
Well, you're going to bring that up. Awesome.
But it was really, it was truly bizarre, because Abercrombie & Fitch, they only want to sell to the cool kids. And their definition of the cool kids are kids who are not obese, or large. They're not.
The skinny ones.
Yeah, they only want to, you know, market to the cool kids. And, you know, from a marketing standpoint, I find it to be rather brilliant, because brilliant in a very dark way. Brilliant in a very corrosive way.
Yeah.
Because they are what this company is doing is manifesting a sense of false worth that comes with material gain. It's really a false degree of validation. And think of it this way: if your self-esteem is so low that the only way that you can raise it is by wearing a piece of cloth that says Abercrombie and Fitch on it, that's capitalism right there. I mean, that's a great scam, in my opinion. You know, and that's kind of where I'm going with it, is that there are forces out there in the universe, in your world, that do not want you to use The Secret, because they will lose money if you have a strong sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is, and the bad news for them, for the people who profit off of insecurity, the good news for us, the consumer, is the fact that we live in the connectivity age. We live in the age of Facebook. So you and I, even though we, quote-unquote, may not have an audience now,
mm-hmm.
somebody might go back through our archives, and they might, you know, they might be in a down time, and they're like, well, maybe I want to check out The Secret. Incidentally, I own The Secret as well. And the funny thing about owning The Secret is I didn't want to pay full price for The Secret. I didn't want to pay $24 or $12 or however much it was. I said to myself, you know what, I want to find The Secret at a used bookstore. And I envisioned it. In fact, I envisioned the bookstore that I wanted to find it at. And lo and behold, I found it for $4, the DVD, The Secret, for $4.
Oh, the DVD, okay.
So, I mean, this knowledge, honestly, it's free to have. People, you know, if it would take this knowledge and apply it. You know, and of course I've had the naysayers. I mean, there was a huge, and you and I are about to get into a heated conversation about this.
Oh boy.
There was a huge blow up among my friends about gun control, and we had these tragedies like the Aurora Theater shooting, and then we had Newtown happened, and there was so much rhetoric on Facebook about guns. And then I brought it up to a bunch of anti-gunners, my anti-gunner friends, about, okay, guys, guns are on your mind. Gun, you are boosting the signal about the situation.
Uh-oh, you're breaking up for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there
you go.
Can
you
hear me now? Yep.
So they were talking about guns. They were being anti-gun this, anti-gun that. And I'm like, going, guys, you're not helping your case here. You're focused on guns. You are thinking about guns. So what happened? People who were pro-gun, there was a run on guns. People went out and bought more guns. They went out and bought more ammunition. We had some guy develop 3D printing technology on guns. So it was really interesting because one of the things in The Secret, they quote Mother Teresa. Now, you can take Mother Teresa whether or not you love her, you hate her, whatever. But Mother Teresa said that I will never go to a, I believe it was, okay, this is where the part that it gets me in trouble. I believe it was Mother Teresa. It might have been Gandhi. It was somebody in India. It was one of those two. But at the end of it, I will never go to an anti-war protest. I will go to a pro-peace gathering.
Mm-hmm.
But I will not go to an anti-war protest because the energy was not around peace. It was about war. So if you think about war, you know, if you think about all the negative things, you're going to attract that to you.
Well, say, you know, like the war on drugs.
Oh, I know.
Well, if drugs are on their mind and warring with drugs is on their mind, it's not going to work. And guess what? It didn't. And drugs actually are out there. And then the one that they're going against is the one that actually are helping a lot of people, and they're having a war on that. I don't get it. But going back to, there's some things, actually most of it, I agree with you. I am not anti-gun. I never said I was. I just am anti-stupidity who has guns. So if there's a way to get the stupidity out of owning a gun, that would be awesome. But, yeah, I just want to make sure that there are laws out there that are actually making sure that kids are safe from other kids, from people, from adults who owns gun and let their kids play with it as if it's toys. That's what I want to have happen, is to keep that from happening.
Absolutely.
So I'm not anti-gun. I used to have a gun. I used to shoot guns. Come on, it's fun. But I don't shoot at people. That's the problem. I don't want to shoot at people unless, you know, it really is, my life is at stake. But even though, I would like to know that I can actually take care of myself without that weapon, because it gives me a sense of false security.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and
that's why,
that was the biggest thing that, you know, with the entire, I was just using that as an example. But in all honesty, you know, I mean, we had, it was like the bridge. Okay, I don't know if you remember, but we had a bridge go out in Washington State. I believe it was the Gadget River Bridge. But a section of it fell into the river. Now, think divinity, think the universe, think whatever, that nobody died. I mean, so there were serious injuries, but nobody died from that bridge failure. But think of it this way. I mean, that event has made ripples in people's thinking, because now people are going to be, you know, are going to be aware that maybe our bridges aren't that safe. So now they might envision safer bridges that might start a dialogue with people. It's like, hey, maybe we need to figure out our budget and figure out a way to fix, you know, to make sure our bridges are safe.
Yeah. Well, Alexandria actually said something on the chat, that skinny and rich people for the price you are paying for their clothes. And I'm not an A&F fan, actually, even if I fit in it or not, because I don't, I guess, in the category of skinny. So I don't want to buy into their negative way of giving false sense of self-worth to these folks who have little of it, that they have to find it outside of themselves in clothing. And then she said something, Mother Teresa was the one who said it, and said, I will never attend an anti-war rally. If you have a peace rally, invite me. I am learning. And then she said that she's learning how to focus on, you know, what you want, peace instead of what you don't want, war. You'll receive it in abundance. And same thing, I find a penny on the floor. I actually do a dance, pick it up, and said, I'm a penny richer, and put it in my pocket. And I had 3 pennies the last week before I left for Alaska, and I knew it was going to be a great and safe drive up to Alaska, and my whole 6 weeks here in Alaska would be awesome. It's just I have to make sure that I keep putting that out.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I kind of, you know, being a media, you know, being somebody who wants to work in media, it's kind of interesting because if you look around, we are bombarded by media connections. And the reason why I bring this up is because it's really distracting for people to be bombarded by all these media values. And I think it kind of gets in the way of them truly manifesting their own happiness. Because people will make you think, well, you know, you need to have this car, you know, to get, you know, this thing to have this social standing. Or you need this type of material gain to get this. And it's a really bizarre game because I don't dress in a suit and tie on a regular basis, okay? I don't like suit and ties, and I don't like it because at the time I was at a point in my life where I really felt that, you know, wearing a suit and tie was disingenuous because people weren't looking at me, they were looking at how I was dressed.
Well, and here's the thing with that, though, Andy. In the beginning, when I was actually watching The Secret for the first few times, I was dressing up to as if I was successful. And when you feel successful because of what you are putting on the outside, and you start feeling it on the inside, you start believing it, and then you become successful. Unlike the A&F kind of thing, they think they're cool, so they put on cool clothing, per se, but they use that coolness instead for good. They use it to keep themselves apart of society. They are basically elitists. As for me, I was dressing up to be a part of, not necessarily being elite, but to know and feel that I'm actually a success, and I actually talk to people. And one way for me to actually be more social, because I'm really more of a not antisocial, but a loner. Yeah. So when I started dressing up that way, I was doing my best to believe that I was someone else, almost like in a costume. You know, I am the successful massage therapist. I should talk to everybody. And it sort of works. And
I can totally see that. And then, I don't know, it's really weird because when I do wear in a suit and tie, people get totally blown away by it. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, Andy, you're in a suit and tie. You look so good. Why don't you dress this way more often? You know, and it was like, I think I'm the same guy that I was wearing a pair of cargo pants, combat boots, and a T-shirt, you know, which is my default.
It's almost like the same reaction I got when I was wearing a corset and my sister put makeup on me. It was like, oh, my God, you should be like this all the time. I'm like, you have no idea how long this took. I'm not going to do this every freaking day. This is a costume, right? People.
You know, and for me, it's just like, I wish cargo pants were like recognized as formal wear because I have a lot of stuff. I carry a lot of kit with me. So I need a place to put my cell phone. I need a place to put my wallet. I need a place to put my keys. I need a place to put my multi-tool, you know?
All right, my friend here who doesn't want to talk on live radio air says he needs a purse. That's what you need. You need a purse. But unfortunately, he's a man, so his purse are in pant, in clothing, in pockets. Yeah. So maybe you should get yourself one of those man purse. I don't know what that looks like.
It's a merce. No, I'm serious. For the longest time, I used to carry a merce around.
What the heck is that?
It's a man purse. You can get them from Mont Blanc. Mont Blanc sells, they don't call them merces. I think they call them, like, carry bags. But for the longest time, I didn't carry a Mont Blanc one because Mont Blanc is pretty expensive.
They
probably said, completely slaughtering the pronunciation.
But for the longest time, it was man bags.
Yeah. You know, I used to carry an Adidas satchel bag with me and stuff. And I used to keep, now I have, actually I take it back. I still do carry a merce around me. I just don't carry it as often.
Yeah, you know, me and Rusty, when we started doing I guess we've been riding our motorcycles, but we were thinking about, we're planning on riding from Seattle to Sacramento and back on our motorcycles. Well, she and I bought this, I don't know, it's a holster, but it's not for a gun. It's actually for your cell phone and all that stuff. And because of the fact that your right hand on a motorcycle is always on the throttle, you can't exactly put everything on your right side. So my thing was on the left side so I can, you know, get to it. But they make it for left-handed and right-handed, so you can have two of them going at the same time. And it looks like a holster for a gun because it also wraps around your thigh as well as your waist, so it doesn't fly off and all that stuff. And I thought that was kind of cool, but after wearing that a couple of times, it just looks so much like a gun holster. I stopped wearing it. I don't want to scare people. Heck, they even scared about bullwhips in school. So, you know, why
well,
wear
you know,
that?
What's really funny is I used to wear a photographer's vest, and it was all black. It had a bunch of pockets, and I was on campus at one point, and I was wearing my tactical pants. I was wearing my my boots, and I had a T-shirt, and I was wearing this vest. And this dude looked at me, he's like, oh, my gosh, you completely look like a commando. And I'm like going, I do? And then I looked at myself in the mirror, I was like going, oh, I guess I do. But the thing is, you know, if at the time I wasn't rocking the merce, I was rocking the tactical vest. Or not really tactical vest, I was rocking a photography vest. But I never lost anything. I had my cell phone, I had my keys, I had all the other stuff that I would carry with me in this black vest. And it's really weird. Really
we are off topic, Andy. I was just laughing with Liz here, and goes, and she goes, and I wasn't of any help with the man purse thing, but you know, we're having fun, and that's
exactly.
That's all that matters. So basically, what I see this blog talk is actually more of a fun time than anything, and sharing of ideas. And I kind of wish we had more callers who are not afraid to talk online on the air and kind of share their stories. So I'm kind of hoping, hey, Alexandria, could you give us a call? The live call-in number is actually 347-677-0699, and if you can help us here a little bit to stay on topic, again, that's 347-677-0699. It doesn't have to be Alexandria calling in and sharing some stories or asking some questions. You can call in too and help us stay on topic. The topic today is thought manifestation. If you've seen or watched The Secret or even read the book called The Secret, it's basically that's what we are talking about, thought manifestation. So, yeah, give us a call. So you were saying, Andy?
I'm looking at the secret, and I'm reading the subtitles, and you know it's got some really interesting quotes here. Like, let's talk about this. What this power is, I cannot say. All I know is that it exists, and it was done by Alexander Graham Bell, a notable scientist and inventor. And it was interesting because we talk a lot about, you know, manifestation power and, you know, technology. I mean, you know, to reference Sean Kennedy, who is one of my favorite philosophers / podcasters, he talks about how technology is the manifestation of our will. So, you know, where am I going with this? Where there's a will, there's a way. And sometimes technology is that will, is that way. Right now I'm kind of, you know, like I said, I'm going through all these quotes here. We've got Albert Einstein here. Imagination is everything. It is a preview of life's coming attractions. I have heard rumors right now. Actually, I've seen it on my Facebook, and I haven't vetted it. So take it with a grain of salt. But Star Trek, okay? The technology in Star Trek, people were inspired to develop these devices. Lynn, you and I might actually live long enough. Actually, I want to live long enough to see a warp drive. NASA's developing it.
They are able to use a 3D printer to print out a trachea for a baby who needed it, and then they did some surgery, and this baby lived and was able to breathe. I saw that, and it's like, wow, all they had to do is envision what they wanted, have this printer, have this thought become a three-dimensional thing that actually helped a life, save a life. So, yeah.
Yeah, because if you think about it, it was like, we live in a very exciting age. We live in the connectivity age, and I think we're going into the next mode of things, which is the manifestation age, especially with the advent of 3D printing, especially with the mechanics of being able to feel a prototype and then being able to flesh something more and build on top of said prototype and such. So, you know, if there's anything that, you know, I want people to come out, you know, if they listen to this and such, is the fact that the universe is really, I don't know how to put this. You put forth what you sow. If you put forth love, positiveness, genuine, often, authentic emotional content, that will come back to you. Another quote that I'm looking up here at The Secret is, energy flows where attention goes. So pay attention to a lot of positive things that are going on in your life, no matter how minuscule it is. Because once you make that turn, you know, once you make that turn towards the attention of being positive, being happy, being prosperous, that it's like it builds momentum. It gets faster and faster and faster.
Definitely. And
people will be like, well, you know, I've gone through, you know, times in my life where, you know, I've had the ups and the downs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to the people that I want to say with the downs, you know, where was your attention? You know, where was it? You know, for me, you know, there's, you know, I've had a lot of stuff. You know, I don't want to say I've had 100% positive life, but I will tell you this much, that because I have The Secret, I know how to deal better with the negative parts of my life, because we kind of navigate our lives in such a way where we can steer towards the negative and we can revel in that negativity and, you know, be responsible for those consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that reminds us that we need to pay attention to the positive things, things that matter, things that makes us who we are at a core, which I'm a firm believer that all of us at a core are here to experience life in a way that is enjoyable and that will bring happiness. I think that a lot of our problems in our world is that a lot of people try to just simply endure life. They don't try to enjoy it.
Correct, yeah.
Because if you, there's a false sense of security in being miserable, you know, simply because it was like, well, if I don't reach any highs, that means I can't fall, you know.
Oh, sad way to think about things.
Well, yeah, but some people think, well, this is as good as it's going to get,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, you're right. If that's as good as it's going to get, well, you've just told the universe it's as good as it's going to get.
Well,
but if you dare ask yourself, it's like, well, maybe I want just a little bit more. You know, maybe you want a little bit more of, and when I say a little bit more, I mean, maybe you want a little bit more of what genuinely makes you happy. You know,
well,
if you want a little bit more, then maybe you want a little bit more after that. And eventually, you start, you know, making that turn. Sometimes it's a sharp turn, and sometimes it's a very gradual turn. But one thing you've got to make sure is you're always making sure you're making that turn towards the positive, towards happiness. Because, let me tell you, a lot of people will want you to turn the other way. They won't want you to turn to negativity, because they're going to make money off of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, what I think it is that a lot of people put their goals, going back a little bit, they put their goals so high that when they don't reach that insanely high goal, they give up.
And this is Alexandria, folks. I was about to try to get you in, and I was like, yeah, Alexandria. And then you start talking, and I go, yeah, Alexandria, good timing.
I'm sorry.
No, you're right about that, though. I mean, there's a lot of people who set so high of a goal that they basically set themselves up for failure.
Exactly. And, I mean, for me, when I was trying to get into the military, instead of saying, you know, oh, God, I didn't lose this much weight, man, I looked at, but I lost this much. So I made some step to my goal. I might not have, you know, hit it the first time around. And a lot of people expect that. They expect that the first time they try that they're going to succeed and they're going to reach that goal that they're looking for. But instead of realizing, well, I got these first few steps down, I'm working towards it, I'm closer to that, they look at the bigger picture of, but I still failed.
Well, yeah, I know people
which
like
I think
that.
Is very damaging.
Yeah.
It's very damaging, you know, because then they just continue with that, I guess, pessimistic attitude of, you know, well, I can't get anything right, I can't succeed. And like, no, you can, because look where you're at, as opposed to look where you were.
Exactly.
Did you make progress? Yes. But you're holding yourself back because you can't look at the positive aspect. You're looking at the negative in the big picture, and that's what's holding you back. Nobody else.
Yeah. The thing is that in my massage practice, I deal a lot with clients who are in so much pain that they don't think they're getting any better. So my job is actually to say, okay, fill this out for me. Tell me the number of you know, level, you know, from 1 to 10, where's your pain at this point before we start the massages. And then I massage them, and then I ask them after the first massage or sometimes the second massage, where's your pain right now? Give me a number. And if it doesn't go down, then I'll start having them, there's a long line in which they put a tick mark where their pain is or where they think they are. And then we'll compare it to the first one that they did, and they'll see if it's higher or lower. And sometimes it is lower. If it's higher, then there's something else that we need to talk about. And mostly it's their view of how they are healing. And most of the time, they make it even worse by not doing the homework, not doing the stretches, not drinking enough water, not resting. and so on and so forth. So they basically create the reality of what they're thinking, which is they're not getting any better. They're still in pain.
And you know, it's funny. As you know, I work in a hospital, or as Lynn knows, rather. We had a patient there actually about 3 years ago when I first started, and he had just had bilateral below knee amputation. And the first time I met him, he was just so downhearted, so frustrated, you know, just as miserable as he can be, but, you know, who wouldn't be in that situation? And I told him, you know, recovery is about 50% attitude. And as I got to know him and spend more time with him, he began to become more positive. And a couple years later, he finally walked out of the hospital on his new prosthetics. So he was thinking when I first met him that he was going to die. He's going to die in that hospital.
Wow.
But sure enough, he told me one day, you know, about a year into it, you know, I'm going to walk out of here. I'm going to show those doctors. And he did it. He kept that attitude. I firmly believe that attitude is a major part of healing. You know, if you feel like if you're just down, well, of course you're not going to get better.
Exactly.
You know? And so, yeah, I completely understand, you know, that the more negative you think about it, you know, and the more you focus on the pain that you do have, you know, sometimes maybe you cause that psychologically, perhaps, you know. But
yeah, I want to make sure that people also understand that when they do have some kind of illness, I want to make sure that people understand that if you contract, say, cancer or anything like that, there are some people who might even think that they caused that because of the thought process. You know, cancer happens sometimes more so on a gene, line of, you know,
genetic,
yeah. And there's some happens because, one, you're out there in the sun way too freaking long and you're not putting on sunblock, you know, you're basically increasing the risk of that. Or something else, you're eating the wrong types of food that's not supposed to be in your stomach or in your colon because it's not processing properly, and you're just making it worse. So I don't want people to think that just because you thought bad things, all of a sudden when you have cancer or you have some diagnosis of a life-threatening disease that you caused it because of the thought of it. You caused it
because
there's other things that come into mind. This is the reason why when you think of positive things or what you want in your life, it doesn't happen right away. Something, other things are factoring into it.
Definitely. I mean, I couldn't fathom telling someone, you know, you brought this upon yourself because you're negative. You know, because that's not the case at all.
Yeah.
Something like cancer, there's so many different factors that can play into how you got it. Social factors, mm-hmm. I mean, smokers, people who drink a lot, you know, yeah, you might develop some sort of, you know, chronic issue later on down the line, but that's because of your social factors. That wasn't because, you know, you are a negative person, you know. But I do believe that in the recovery process, positivity helps so much. And I think it helps more than people really realize in the long run.
Yeah.
And in the face of a chronic or life-threatening illness, it can be very hard, yes, to see the positive.
Sometimes it is really difficult to see the positive because they're filled with the negativity. What if, I should have done this. There's a lot of regrets. That's why right now when you're alive and well, gosh, just enjoy life. No regrets. This is it. This is the life that you got, do what you can with it. Not saying that you do everything bad and don't regret it. That's not what I'm saying. Do things that works for you. Do things that means a lot to you. Go with your passion and just live.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to be the person that on the deathbed that says, I wish I would have lived.
Exactly. You were dead a long time ago. You were saying, Andy?
Oh, I was saying that, you know, live a life that would make the Westboro Baptist Church want to picket your funeral. That's what I'm going to say.
But I don't want them in my funeral. I don't care. I really don't.
Well, that's how you know you did it right.
Because my funeral, I'm hoping, if I can get enough money put together, my friends and family will go on some kind of a cool trip, like maybe a cruise to Australia, and dump my ashes in the Pacific Ocean. That's what I want to do. No crying. It's all a party.
Absolutely. But we're not here to talk about death. That was last week's episode.
Last week's episode. Hey, was it? Oh, yeah, that's right. It was. Terminally ill. Body workers working on the terminally ill and medically fragile.
And stuff.
So.
But no, I mean, kind of bring it back to, you know, the manifestation theory and such. I met with, I don't know, have you ever heard of an NLP?
NLP. Oh, neuro-linguistic programming. Yes. I want to learn
that. What's your opinion of that?
My opinion of that? I want to learn it. It's going to be very useful in my business, I think, because of the fact there's a lot of people who just need some imagery just to get them to relax, for one. And another thing is that there are some people in my clientele that are a little bit on the negative side, and so I have to really talk to them, and it's taking longer because I don't have the certification nor the training of NLP. I do that to myself, actually. That's how I get through bad times. Sometimes I think the negative thoughts, but I have to get past it and say, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to dwell on that because I'm going to do what makes me happy, and I'll deal with it later. So, and hopefully it'll even sort itself out. Like this morning I was kind of sad, but once I got to the office, I call it the office, it's the yoga studio, I was fine because Nao was there. He's happy, smiling. You know, Sandra's there. We were getting my table ready, and so on and so forth. And a meeting with so many positive thinking people that I totally forgot why I was sad this morning. And then I looked at my phone. I didn't get a text. I was still sad, but it was like, next time. So, and then today I'm laughing because we're having a great time on this blog talk. And I have Liz here listening in and making comments, but you can't hear it. I can. You can't hear it because she doesn't want to be live on the radio. So, I'm having a great old time here. Oh, was that a long spiel of my day? So anyway, the sad thing that I was talking and kind of hinting about, I don't necessarily want to say anything about it because that would also involve another person, and I don't necessarily want to, if it's just myself, no problem. I can spill, but it involves somebody else, and I don't necessarily want to put that out there on the blogger sphere. But
what do you have to say about relationships?
Oh, shut up! So my thought of it is just to be myself, do what makes me happy, do what feeds me, you know, energetically, spiritually, mentally. And I'm just hoping that one of these days she'll, if she needs my help, she knows that I will do everything I can to help. That's all I can say. And I'm hoping she's having a good day.
Absolutely.
Whose dog is back there?
Not mine.
Oh.
Dog.
Wait, Elizabeth, I thought you had cats, not dogs. Oh, you said
I've got neighbors out here with dogs, so.
Oh, okay.
That might be it.
It could be it. So, was there anything personally with you, Alexandria, that actually this thought manifestation actually worked for you, that was so significant that you want to share with us?
Actually, my interpretation is, you know, believe it and it will come. I mean, that's kind of my interpretation of what we're talking about here.
If you build it, they will come. Oh, sorry,
exactly.
That's a different movie.
And actually, surprisingly, I had been looking for, you know, a part-time job, something that I would enjoy doing, but nothing really seemed to be coming through. So finally, one day, I just sat down and I just said, no matter what, I'm going to get it. You know, something is going to happen, and it's going to come through, you know. And I just stopped stressing about it, and I just went back to, you know, really enjoying my my full-time job, rather. And sure enough, later that night, Lynn calls. And
wow.
It was so random and out of the blue, and I'm all like, wow, okay, this is what's going on. You know, so. This is odd. And it was kind of the same way when I actually got my job at the VA hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was working at a Subway before just to make ends meet. And I just said, you know, one of them is going to call back. One of these hospitals. I know they are. I'm going to get this job. And about 2 days later, they'd called back, and I'd almost forgotten that I'd even applied, because I applied for them like 3 or 4 months ago. And I got a call back, and then, you know, within the course of 2 weeks, I was working there. And so I always find that when I sit back, I put my mind into it for maybe like 30 minutes, this is going to happen, and then I just leave it alone. And I feel like I just let the universe take it, you know, and more often than not, something happens. You know, what I'm hoping to happen will come true.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't worked on the lottery yet, but.
Well, you have to play. You know? You have to play. I say the same thing. You know, I wish I would win the lotto, but the problem is I don't buy the frickin' ticket.
You gotta play to win.
Exactly. That's what they say. Oh, Andy, you're breaking up again.
Oh, I've got a funny story about winning and gambling, actually.
Oh, no. Okay.
So I was dating this one girl, and we were dating pretty seriously and such. And then, you know, as with all things, you know, we broke up, and it was a bittersweet breakup and such. So my buddies invite me out to a poker game, right? I go to a poker game, right?
Uh-huh.
Not caring that if I win or lose. But I had this weird feeling that I was going to win, you know? So we started playing this poker game, and it was this really silly nickel and quarter game. It wasn't big money. Later that night, I walked out with $40.
Whoa!
Yay! Hey. High roller. Come on, buy some dinner.
You know? Which is kind of weird. I mean, I have a friend of mine who plays Texas Hold'em, and when the cards are dealt, she doesn't look at her cue card. She strictly bets on what's on the table, and it messes with people. And sometimes she comes out on top. It's hilarious. You know?
Hey, I think I got rusty online, but she might be driving home, so it's going to be noisy in the background. Hey, Rusty.
Hey, how you doing? It is noisy.
Yoo-hoo, we got callers.
Long time
Yay.
No talk, Rusty.
Yeah, long time no talk. It's pretty noisy.
Well, it's a lot less noisy than when I got you on. I'm going, oh, that's got a little noisy. But it's
yeah.
Okay now.
Oh, good.
So, Rusty, do you have a story for us as far as something that actually you thought about that you want so badly and it manifested itself after a certain action? Which got a lot. And you're laughing.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, it actually happened just lately, as a matter of fact. So, you know, I have to go to the Masters Hall of Fame event, which is in a couple weeks. And I was kind of like financially strapped. And then finally, you know, after being busy and stuff like that with classes and other stuff, I was like, oh, crap, I need a plane ticket. Well, I had to make this choice. It's like, do I pay the studio rent or do I buy this plane ticket, right? You know what I mean? It's like, what am I going to do? I'm like, crap, I need money, right? I need, you know, money for the plane ticket. And I was like, man, what am I going to do? Okay, maybe I should hold a seminar and, you know, stuff like that. And then I just kind of put it out there. I'm like, okay, I need the money. And it wasn't like I didn't want to put the thought out there as far as, like, you know, greedy money. So, like, I have to go to this. You know, I've got people that I've nominated for the Hall of Fame. I kind of have to be there for them because I have to present them with the Masters Hall of Fame Award, right? And I'm like, well, damn, right? So... I put out this email and I said, okay, I'm going to hold a seminar, right? I said, okay, let's have a seminar. I'm going to teach, you know, basic knife handling next Thursday, blah, 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 donation only, whatever you want to, you know, whatever you want to give out, right? So I figured, you know, as long as there was, like, something that could help me get to a plane ticket down and back from California, that'd be great. Well, anyway, with this energy being put out there and the thoughts and stuff, I get an email about not even... 2 hours later, and it's one of my students said, hey, you know what, I voluntarily bumped myself off of a Southwest flight, and they gave me a voucher, you know, I can't use it, do you want it? And it was like just
all
out of the
right.
blue, and they had no idea I was stressing out about finding money or whatever, right? And I was like, are you sure? I guess I could use it.
Wow.
So I was like, wow, right? So, yeah. So I got a voucher to go down to California with. I was like, how weird is that? But, yeah, so we go.
And then she goes to California.
There I go to California. Yeah. So I thought that was, it's weird. And I'm sure it's happened to, like, lots of people. Right? I missed the whole front part of your show that you guys were talking about.
Oh, that's okay. We went off topic, back on topic, off topic, back on topic, back on topic.
Right. Now, the subject of the show was thought manifestation, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I just had to double check. Right on.
It is. We were thinking about things that manifested itself in the blog show. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It works.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because, you know, we were talking about, you know, finding like-minded individuals, more people who show up. And I think we have more people here on here. This is the most we've ever had.
Liz is not talking. We have five.
Oh, yeah,
five people.
What's going on over there?
I don't know whose place. I hope it's not Alexandria's place.
Wait, what? Oh, what do I do this time?
Are you driving?
No, I'm at
home. Oh, good.
No, that's me.
Enjoying
that's
vacation.
Me driving.
Oh, Rusty's driving.
I'm driving.
That's the road. So basically, this is great. Yeah, I manifested a lot of phone calls today. This is awesome.
Right on.
See, it works.
Yeah, it started out with just by myself. I'm going, gosh, I'm hoping Andy calls. And then all of a sudden, as I just started the show, and I go, oh, look, I think this is my buddy Andy. I hope it is. And goes, yes, it is, blah, blah, blah. And then Alexandria gets on chat, and then Liz is on the phone listening in. But she doesn't want to talk. Don't want to talk. And then I said, hey, Alexandria, since you're writing a lot of stuff that, you know, why don't you share your stories? And then she goes, okay, let me find my phone. And she calls, and there she is. And then you call. This is great. Get another caller? Come on, we got 20 minutes left.
20 minutes left, okay. And we're going to need a caller that has a cool story.
Yeah, exactly. That would be awesome.
We need a caller that has another cool story. Call in, folks.
877-677-0699. If anybody's listening and needs to call in, that would be awesome.
Right,
you know, I'm not sure if it really counts. When my cat was younger, rather, my big one, he was an indoor-outdoor cat, and whenever I wanted him to come inside, I would look outside, and I'd say, man, I really want cats to come home. I'm getting ready to lock up. Now, 20 minutes later, he'd always be right there. Every single time.
Yeah, that
so
counts.
I'm not sure if that really, that you know...
That counts.
It was just the weirdest thing, because, you know, he ignores me all the other times. But whenever I wanted him to come inside, sure enough, there he is. Brat, probably just
right.
Dude.
Reading your mind. I will go when she doesn't want me to.
He listened to get into the house, but as soon as he was there, he was just, you know, I didn't exist. Which is fine.
All right, no problem. So far in my class for the massage cupping, there are 8 people signed up. So that's more than what I thought I was going to have. I said, I'll be happy with 4. I just need to practice.
I think you're probably the only person I know up here that actually offers cupping.
No, there's others. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I think some of the cupping techniques are being given in more of a spa setting rather than a medical setting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But they're starting to have some more people who are getting into the medical setting. I'm going to be teaching and doing medical setting here because the Spirit Path Yoga and Wellness is actually more geared in energetic type of healing. And I'm the only one that I know of, as far as I'm concerned, who is also not just a practitioner, but also one other lecturer, who's doing more West contemporary type of healing, rather than Westernized almost, using Eastern philosophies. So I don't know. They like it because they like to be known as a little bit more accommodating to different kinds of styles and healing techniques, which is fine with me. So, yeah. I love it. They're awesome. Spirit Path, Yoga and Wellness, Anchorage, Alaska. Okay. So.
Awesome. So what were you guys talking about earlier? What did I miss?
We were talking about some,
verses. We were talking about verses.
About what?
Man verses. We were talking
Man
about
verses.
Them.
I heard verses. I'm like, what?
And then we talked about mind issues because, you know, the, how do you call it, the concentration or the thought on folks who are anti-gun were still gun-related and so on and so forth. And the Abercrombie and Fitch clothing line in which they just want to focus on selling their cool clothing to cool kids.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which is the negative way of using the thought manifestation or a law of attraction.
Yeah.
we were talking about media influences that get in the way of people actually manifesting happiness, and how people are distracted into a false sense of happiness through irresponsible materialism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because let's face it, I like material things. I have a thing for collecting CDs. I love going to bookstores and finding old books. I can never have enough musical instruments, you know. So I mean, but I buy things that help me manifest, you know, the awesome that I am. And you know, I'm not being arrogant about that. You know, there is an awesome that each and every one of us is capable of, and it's sort of our duty to steward that awesome. Otherwise, because if we don't do it, we're going to start buying into things that we don't need, trying to impress people we don't like. That's from
Exactly. Exactly. We had a short discussion about that during one of my health news bits last month. I don't remember. Yeah, it was sometime last month. It was about, you know, why people buy unnecessary crap if they're, you know, not necessarily if they're depressed or whatever, but it's too... you know, lift themselves up and to feel better about themselves and, you know, to, you know, and the question was, you know, why do I need to buy a $500 watch to impress the PTA? You know, stuff like that, you know, why do I feel like I have to impress them? You know, but there's got to be something going on with, you know, my, you know, lesser sense of awesome, right? That would make me go out and buy a $500 watch to make myself feel better, to make my, you know, like you said, to give myself a false sense of security about, you know, a perceived sense of awesome. So yeah, you know, I totally agree with you. Totally.
Well, I think the thing that really bothers me more so than even just buying physical clothing or jewelry is the idea of altering yourself. Implant,
mm-hmm.
rejection, it's kind of like, you know, that's, you're changing yourself physically.
There are some people who actually believe, and I've done this before personally, it's fake it till you make it. That's another way of doing things, because in order for you to develop... This is how I develop myself in thinking more of the law of attraction, attracting like things, is I had to fake it till I made it. And
right.
It took a while to get used to that. But I wasn't trying to be fake. I was trying to be something that I wanted to be anyway. And I was already there, and I just faked it till I made it. I'm still faking it right now till I make it.
That's a concept that I tell my own people a lot all the time. It's like, you know, I've got several people that are getting ready for really, you know, upper ranks and, you know, brown belt, black belt, and I keep telling them, you know, like, be that brown belt, be that black belt, and fake it till you make it, basically, you know. I mean, you know, in a way you almost have to, like you said, fake it, so that way you attract that kind of, I can't think of the word, not attitude, but that you attract
energy.
That sense of confidence. Yeah, you attract that energy. You attract that sense of confidence. Otherwise, if you, you know, always throw yourself back to what's comfortable to you and, you know, you go, oh, well, you know, that's too hard. I think I'll just take the easy way out. And you choose not to alter yourself, quote unquote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not going to attract that energy, and you're never going to find it or see it or seek it or whatever. And but it's hard to do because, you know, a lot of times, you know, our minds are tending to want to take the easy way out.
Yeah. Hey, Rusty, remember when Great Grandmaster Chen came up, down somewhere to teach?
Over? Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He came over to teach, and I was there. And I just pretended I was also a grandmaster, you know, a master in Chen Tai Chi. And actually, that particular night was the best feeling that I've gotten doing Tai Chi. Because I was pretending I'm already a master. Oh, yeah. I got lower than usual. I was like, this is awesome. But he used up like almost an hour just warming up by the time we were warmed up. Oh, class is almost over.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and that's kind of what, you know, I mean, you know, to my own students is, you know, fake it till you make it, and, you know, pretend you are. And, you know, like, I remember one time I took a bunch of, I took a bunch of Mighty Mites, and they run between the ages of 5 to 7 years old. And I said, okay, what's a black belt? You know, and then they all like raise their hand. It's someone who's really good. It's someone that's got really those senses. And, you know, they come up with all sorts of cool little things that little kids come up with, right? And I asked, well, who wants to be a black belt? And they all raise their hand. And I'm like, well, you know, it's a lot of hard work, right? And they're like, and then a couple of them went, yeah, it looks really hard. Because we were watching Miss Noel or we were watching Mr. Marceau. It looks really hard what you tell them to do. And I'm like, it's not that hard. Watch. Who wants to be a black belt right now? And they raised their hand. I'm like, okay, Johnny, stand up. And I took off my own black belt and I put it on them.
Oh, wow.
And then I said, look in the mirror. What is that? What do you see? Johnny with a black belt. Now go out there and do monkey form number one, like a black belt would. And he did it, like a black belt would, right? And this kid's only like a yellow belt, right? And he just went out there and he did it because in his mind, he had the belt. He was a black belt.
Yep.
And all the kids raised their hand and they went, oh, well, I want to be a black belt too. All right. So everyone got their turn at being a black belt. And I said, okay, now every time you put on your belt, doesn't matter if it's white belt, yellow belt, or whatever, it's going to be a black belt. So, you know, do your forms like one. And
okay.
Now all of them are. So, you know, I mean, but in their head, you know, because they're kids, they're not faking it. They are it.
Yep.
It's just they don't have all the stuff yet to be a black belt. So, you know, so are they faking it? Not really. They're, you know, a lot of people go, oh, they're just pretending they're black belts. But in those kids' heads, they are. They just don't have the belt yet. They have to earn it, you know, that kind of thing. Sifu's got to give it to you, and, you know, you got to be around for a little while in order to get that black belt. But in their mind, they're it already.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, that sounds so cute, too. I mean, the thing is with the fake it till you make it is actually faking it because it feels like you're faking it in the beginning. And then
you
start feeling it, and you are it. That's the reason why you fake it till you make it. It could happen within just a few seconds of faking it, and you are making it.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Now, I have a question for everybody when it comes to thought manifestation. Do you guys feel that when it comes to, you know, the law of attraction or you know, thought manifestation or what have you, do you guys feel that the results are either successful or not as successful depending on what your, you know, intention is, or if you have an intention but somehow subconsciously have an ulterior motive? You see what I'm talking about? So, like, let's say, I don't know. Okay, I want to be a black belt. Let's just say. I want to be a black belt. Okay, in my head, I'm it, right? But, you know,
it's
my ulterior motive. Huh?
But it's to impress a girl.
Yeah, if it's to impress a girl, yeah. You know, would he be successful at that, you know, real attitude or the sincerity of the attitude? Maybe, maybe not. He might not. He might just end up being just a bossy little, I don't want to swear on the show. He might end up being just a bossy little dude, right? You know, in class, right? So with that example, do you guys find that, you know, whatever initial intention for the thought may, do you find that it can affect the result?
Definitely.
Absolutely. I think that there is a certain degree of if you say one thing but you feel another, what you feel is actually going to manifest than what you set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I mean, we kind of see this with people who get into relationships, not because they want to be necessarily happy, but because they don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be a situation where, you know, the universe says, well, you know, you said this, but you actually felt this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you this instead. You
know, yeah.
A lot of manifestation theory has most to do with feeling, and as we stated earlier about that emotional level, you know, matching your emotion with your intent.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Sorry, I was talking into a car.
It's okay. It's kind of like.
I definitely feel like.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. It's kind of like Bruce Lee in Enter the Dragon. He says, you know, it was like, you know, Bruce Lee asks one of his students to kick him. So he goes to kick him. It's like, Bruce Lee is like, what was that? This is not a demonstration, you know.
Yeah.
What we need is emotional content. So he kicks him. That I and Bruce Lee blocks. I said emotional content, not anger.
Yeah.
So finally he kicked with emotional content, and Bruce Lee, you know, thought that was a good kick. I mean, of course, Bruce Lee blocked, but
yeah.
You know, that I think that's an important lesson to kind of, you know, step off of when in manifestation theory is to have the proper emotional content. The proper feeling to match what you want to achieve and what you want to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Alexandria?
I was going to say, I definitely agree. If your intention is for a selfish purpose or for harm, you know, I don't think the universe really agrees with that.
Yeah.
and I've never really seen anything like that play out because, you know, I'm sure we all have those kind of feelings at some point of, man, I really wish something bad would just happen to you. And it's,
mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't work like that, you know. But if you feel like one of my good friends, he's constantly, like you were saying earlier, he wants somebody, he wants a woman, but I don't think he really wants a relationship per se, or maybe
mm-hmm.
he just doesn't want to be alone, like you said. And yet, he keeps finding people, meeting people as friends, but never somebody as a relationship. Because I don't think that he's really asking for a relationship. He's just asking not to be alone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And here are friends. You're not alone. Here are people to talk to. You're not alone. But until you sincerely want that connection with someone, you know, it's not going to come.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, so I definitely agree with what you guys are saying there.
Well, we only have
with
like
good
2 minutes
intentions.
And 20 seconds left on the show. So,
time to end.
Did we want to continue discussing this, or did we want to end the show? Right, like now.
It's up to you. You're the host.
I've got a husband to put to bed.
But yeah, it's been great. Maybe we can talk about it in a couple of months again. So and see if any new things manifested, like how I did with my classes here or something.
Cool.
So thank you, everybody, for calling in. I really do appreciate you helping me manifest my thoughts of having a full discussion and to use up the 2 freaking hours that we set up for the show. And thank you, Andy. Thank you, Alexandria. Thank you, Rusty. And thank you, Liz, for listening.
Thank you, Liz.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoy the rest of your time in Alaska, and we'll try not to burn down the house while you're gone.
Oh, please don't do that, because we have to stop it. I don't want anything to get wet, okay? But,
no problem.
Hopefully, we'll have another, vlog show the next 2 weeks. I haven't put it together yet, so thank you again. And It's telling me I got 60 seconds left. So.
Okay. Bye.
And I'm playing music, and I still haven't gotten the timing on this. So, there it is. Thank you again, Lynn and Andy, Alexandria, Rusty and Liz, Manifestation. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back soon. 8 o'clock.
Good night.
Pacific time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.